Amen. Well, I chose this particular title today, How Are We Healed? We talk a lot about healing and wholeness and health here at River of Life. We pray for one another. I think this came out of just a personal kind of quest, seeking the Lord for wholeness, kind of in an area of my life, and just looking at the various things that the Scripture has to say about healing. So, Lord, we just give this time to you. We thank you, God, for your Word, which is life and truth to us. And we know that it's by your Word, our belief and faith and trust in your Word, Lord, that we are healed. So just help us as we go through these scriptures today, enlighten us, illumine any areas where there may be darkness or limited light as it relates to healing, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I put all these lines on the paper. They're not fill-ins unless you want to put something there. I do have some things that I put in on mine, but feel free to add in this first, particularly on the first page and the top of the second page, anything that comes to mind as I go through the particular scriptures. So A says, by the natural process, the body, it'll heal itself with or without medical intervention, basically. And we all know this. We've all probably gotten a cut. I do it all the time. I'm in the kitchen and I accidentally cut myself or prick myself with something. I don't necessarily need to go and get a stitch for that. I may put a Band-Aid on it or I may put some ointment on it. But even if I don't, the body will naturally heal itself, you know. And that's amazing to me. You know, it'll start closing up and it'll get a scab. And, you know, sometimes you don't even see any evidence that there was a cut, right? So the body, God designed the body so that it will naturally do all that it can to be well. One of the things I've learned about my own body, and I'm sure many of you have, is I'm not prone to headaches. I really am not. But if I get one, immediately I know why. I'm not drinking enough water. You know, I need water in my body. And if I, you know, drink the amount of water that I'm supposed to drink, the headache goes away. It gives me information, you know, how to take care of it. Number one says, medicine does not heal, but it can aid the body's recovery. I've shared this testimony before, but in the mid-80s, I was diagnosed with an infirmity, and that was not something that I knew about or knew. I didn't even know to seek, that I needed to seek medical attention, and I did, and I got, this doctor gave me some pills. He said, these are pills I give everybody. He told me the reason I was having this problem, and it had nothing to do with why I was having a problem. I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and I got a recommendation to go to another doctor. Immediately what they did, they biopsied eye tissue, you know, and that was good for me, though. I mean, it was not a nice procedure, but it was good because the other way to diagnose it was to go into my lungs, which would have been like a major procedure. So in this case for me, and I'm going to go to number two, it says doctors are not evil, but they are limited. And the reason, you know, I say this is, okay, so my diagnosis was sarcoidosis. I had never heard of it. And I was told that I needed to take this steroid drug, and I did. And I remember Once getting the diagnosis, once getting home, I was praying, and I think I was sitting on the side of my bed, and it was the first time that I ever heard the audible voice of God. It came from the door jamb of my bedroom door. And he said to me, this is not a disease unto death. And he said to me that I was to take the medicine as prescribed in his name. And so I prayed over that medicine, and that's what I did. And I took it for about I can't remember now how many months it was, but it was a good period of time. It had horrible side effects. The disease went into remission, and then it came back. And I became more tenacious in taking the medicine, doing what was prescribed, and praying over it. And I took it every day as prescribed in Jesus' name. And after the second round of taking that medicine, that disease went into remission and has never come back. So Jesus was my healer, but he used medicine to aid in the recovery, okay? Doctors are not evil, but they're limited. There's nothing wrong with seeking medical help if the situation is beyond your current level of faith. And, you know, I had an incident, I don't know, that was probably 2022, I guess, when you went to the ER with me. Woke up in excruciating pain, and the pain overrode my faith. You know, it really did. It was like really bad. And I know, remember Pastor Dave and Ronnie and Debbie and Pastor Kim, they were with me and they were praying. And I was crying and yelling because it was very painful. At the same time, though, there was an inner peace within me. And at one point, I'm laying there in the ER and Pastor Dave's on one side of me, Ronnie's on the other, they're praying, and all of a sudden, I found myself praying in the spirit with them. Now, I can't tell you, I didn't understand that at all, but I just knew I was praying in the spirit. The pain had not gone away, but I was praying in the spirit. And I got a peace, and they were telling me I had a blockage, I needed surgery. 24 hours probably after that, they were releasing me to go home, no surgery. God intervene, you know? So, yeah. So I sought the medical advice because I needed it, but it was the prayer, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. It was the prayers of the believers. I believe it was a level of faith. I can't say that it was totally my faith. It was God's faith working in me for that healing. So how do we get healed? Let's look at the first one. By the word. And Proverbs 4:20 and 22 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's so important. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those who find them and health to their flesh. Thank you, Jesus. So the word, the fill in there I put, is the word is health. It's health to our flesh. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit that quickens the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The word that I speak unto you, or the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word is spirit and life. So we're speaking the word to our bodies. The bodies are quickened by the Spirit of God and the life of God on the inside of us. We receive healing by miracles. And this, we all know this one, 1 Corinthians 12:10 says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. So I put there, we are healed by the miracle of the gift of the Spirit, okay? Because a miracle is a gift of the Spirit. Acts 8:4 and 8 says, Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and they were lame, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. We were talking about this morning. So I put here for my fill-in, Philip preaching Christ. He just preached Jesus. Yes, that's C2. Uh-huh. And it says that, you know, things were happening, you know, spirits were manifesting themselves. People who had the palsy, the lame, they were all healed, and it brought great joy. When, you know, we've received a prophetic word years ago that River of Life would be like a hospital, and people would actually drive here with ambulances, and people would walk out, you know, the lame would walk, the blind would see, the deaf would hear. We're still waiting for that. We've seen little twinklings of that, but we're going to see a greater work. Amen. Amen. Acts 8:4-8 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I put here is by hearing the faith that's in the word, the hope that's in the word, that's how we are healed. And then they also from the refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. You know, Kimberly has had us in prophetic class and talked about just soaking in the presence of the Lord. Number three, I had by hearing faith. And number four is refreshing from the presence of the Lord. There's something that happens when we are in God's presence. Now we've seen this even in Sunday morning and Wednesday night when we are just quiet before Him, you know, just thinking and meditating on Him, that there comes to us a refreshing. And then let's go to D, by a gift of healing. And this is 1 Corinthians 12:9. He says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing. And I love it says gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So here I put the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. That's how we are healed. I believe when someone gets up on Sunday morning and they give a word of knowledge, particularly concerning healing, and someone who can identify with that word of knowledge, you know, whether they acknowledge it openly or not, and they're healed, it comes through that gift of healing, you know. I think also by the laying on of hands, you know. When we lay hands on believers, and that's the next one, Mark 16:17-18, it's laying on of hands. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Okay, so another way we can be healed is by the faith of the sick one. And Acts 14 talks about a man being healed, and Paul perceiving the man had faith to be healed. Have you ever prayed for someone, and you know that you know that you know that that person is receiving the prayer? I mean, it's almost like I had an experience here at the altar a couple weeks ago. Someone came to the altar, and they had a prayer request, but I was so touched by their coming and their humbleness and their expectation of God it was like I knew before I prayed that they were healed. And I think they did too. So I just prayed in agreement with them for what they asked for, because in a way they already had it. And as we prayed, the other person and I prayed for them, it was like the tears start coming down. And it wasn't like sad tears. It was just rejoicing tears. It was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It was like at the moment they asked, their faith was so great, they received their healing. And it wasn't because of, I don't think it was because of my faith or the other person that was praying with them. It was their faith. They just came to the altar and said, I'm believing the Lord for this, you know. So Paul perceived the man had faith to be healed. And this Matthew 9:28, this is about a blind man, and he asked Jesus to heal him. And the Lord just said, you know, I'll do this. Do you believe? And the guy says, yes, Lord. You know, it's a matter of, do we really believe that God will heal us? And when we agree with him, when our faith aligns with his will, and we say, yes, Lord, we are healed. And this is by the faith of the one who is sick. The other, next one is, by the prayer of agreement. And we prayed this morning. A few of us, we were praying for some situations here. In James 5, let me see if I can find this on my 5:14-16 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Miss Paula came in and she said, I'm not feeling 100% today. I don't have any energy. What happened? Like hands were laid on you. Prayed for the sick. Yeah. You want to say?
Brenda and Mabel said, we're going to walk this out. They know I really believe, and I am, but I just did not feel good coming over. I just woke up just in a kind of a fog, and I said, I'm going anyway. Excuse me. And they walked me. Mabel said, Brenda said, you got to walk this out. So we walked up to the cross and prayed and believed. And I felt it. I really felt it lift off me. And I'm just praising the Lord for that, because it was a really just yucky feeling. So I praise the Lord.
When she came back to her seat, she says, I feel 100% better. That prayer of agreement is how she was healed. And just faith, you know, in God. If we pray, they will be healed. In Matthew 18:19-20 says, again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask, they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And see, I don't know how many of us are here today, but if we pray, he's here. And he says, if we agree, anything we ask. I thought it was really interesting, because we were all sitting back there by the table, but it was Brenda and Mabel who said, no, you can't just sit here. You got to get up. You got to move. You got to do something. We need to demonstrate this healing. And when she came back, she said, I feel 100% better. Amen. So that gift of that prayer of agreement. The next one is, by faith of family or those with authority in the lives of a sick one. So we prayed for Kimberly's dear friend. We prayed for her grandson. And many of us have had have testimonies where we prayed for others' family members. I mean, I can look out and just see a number of you. We prayed in, you know, for situations. And maybe the person who was sick, not to say that they didn't have faith, but when you're dealing with something, sometimes it's hard to exercise and release your own faith. But it says here that the family or those with authority, they can pray for the lives of someone else who's sick. And we see this in two examples, at least in the Bible. The first one is the centurion in Matthew 8 and 5. And I love this story, and I like the next one too. It says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented." So this man, this centurion, had compassion for his servant. "And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed that same hour." Isn't that good? We all know that story, but. And then the next one is the story of the Canaanite woman in Matthew 21 through 28. This one, her daughter, it says, was grievously vexed. We don't hear that word much anymore. But it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him." And you know what's so interesting about both of these stories is that neither of these people who were asking for their loved one or somebody they cared for were saved. You know, it's some information I read on the centurion. It said that he might have been saved, but he was not a man from Israel. He was not a Jewish man. This Canaanite woman was not either. So she came out and she cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." I thought about Pastor Tim's message. She had heard his name. She'd heard son of David somewhere, you know. And she said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word." Can you believe Jesus did that? We were talking this morning about how there are times when we are faced with situations, you know, we need to have an answer, but we don't have to answer right away. You know, sometimes we need to just hear what God says. You know, he had a reason for doing that. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." So apparently she had gone to them too, right? But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." I love that. But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. Isn't that good? Wow. So Jesus is our example, and I'm just going to kind of close here by giving you seven revelations that we can glean from to be healed. The first one, let me go there and find the scripture here. I didn't turn my page when I, okay, so that's that one. All right, I'm not going to go through all of these scriptures, but, we know these. Hebrews 4:12 says the word is alive. We all know that. It says the word is sharp and powerful, you know. The word is quick and sharp, powerful than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit. And then Luke 6:17-19, it talks about Jesus healing all who came, you know. And that should be our goal, too, is that everyone who comes to us for healing, they leave healed. So number one under H says, God cannot deny himself. He is life. And one of the ways that we can be healed, a revelation that we get from the word of how we can be healed, is an intimate communion with God can heal you. The Bible says in John 10:10, the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But in John 1:4-5, he says, he is life, and the life was the light of men. Number two, the word is spirit, life, and medicine. An intimate communion with the word can heal you. And I want to read Proverbs 4:22. We all know this scripture. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. All right. Another way is knowing that the power of sin is destroyed, that you are forgiven. We have freedom from sin consciousness, guilt, and shame. We have a revelation of righteousness. So the fill in there is a conscience free of sin, guilt, and guilt can heal you. When we're not guilty anymore, we're not conscious of sin, we can freely accept the healing that God has for us. Number four, Jesus took sickness to the cross. Let's look at, do I have that one? Well, we all know, I'm going to just do Isaiah 53:4. It says, surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Okay. So Jesus took sickness to the cross, and a revelation of Jesus, the healer, can heal you. So when we get a revelation that he is our healer, just like when we get a revelation that he is our peace, he is our joy, we can be healed. Number five, sickness represents the work of the enemy. A revelation of Jesus's victory over the devil can heal you. And John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. All right. Number six, God is love. A revelation of God's love can heal you. Sickness is a source of fear, but perfect love cast out all fear. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. There is no, in 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And number 7, God wants us healed and well. So the fill in there is, a revelation of his goodness can heal you. Amen. So Matthew 8:1-3 says, and when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And I love that scripture because, you know, Jesus, you know, everybody else who saw a leper, they would cry out, leper, leper, you know, they'd run away. But Jesus always went to, and not only did he go to him, but he touched him and he said, I will. So would you say with me, if Jesus is willing to heal anyone, he will heal me. Amen.